Some theologians say that the Old Testament is the season of the Father. Jesus showed up, and when he walked on the earth, it was a season of the Son. And then the day of Pentecost, and up to today, we are in the season of the Holy Spirit. And I was sitting down thinking about this, but the first thing that flowed in my heart was some questions I could address you with. The title of this message is The Holy Spirit, Love and Power. Would you say that? The Holy Spirit, love and power. Do you have a desire to know God? Have you discovered that life does not work without the Lord? Or are you still living in the anxiety of those who lack trust in Him? Have you wandered around in the desert of your circumstances looking for some answers to your plight? Do you look at God as an add-on to your life, or do you see God as the answer to everything? What previous disappointments have kept you from turning everything over to the Lord? What makes you skittish about placing your complete trust in God? Where are you on your life journey right now? Have you trusted Him in the past and stopped trusting Him for your present set of needs? Are you trying to meet your needs outside of a relationship with the Lord? Do you feel lonely inside? Are you upset with yourself? Are you angry with those around you? Is Jesus Christ on your radar of how your life will improve? What holds you back from putting your trust in Him? Do you spend time with Him, regular time? Are you looking to people to do what only God can do in your heart? Are you willing to take responsibility for where you are in your life right now? That's a big one, isn't it? Are you blaming someone else for where you are? Do you need unconditional love? What will be the source for that love? Did you know that the Lord will never leave you or forsake you, or even when you don't feel that He is near? Do you know that the Lord is near the brokenhearted? And He's close to the crushed in spirit? Are you aware that the Lord has been drawing your heart to Himself? Do you feel that something is broken inside and you don't know how to fix it? Do you know that Jesus gave His life for you? Do you know that no one will ever love you the way Jesus loves you? Did you know that He has plans for you to give you a future and a hope? Did you know that if you commit all your brokenness to Him, that He will repair you, restore you, mend you, heal you, and prosper you? Are you used to living a broken life that you cannot imagine a whole life? Are you afraid to face the fears of growing up? Do you know that God is for you and not against you? Do you know that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Have you ever cried out to God and felt His love cover you? Do you want complete freedom from the bitterness of life experiences? Are you willing to partner with Jesus, the great physician, and obey Him unto complete healing? Are you aware that there are others around you who have trusted in Jesus for their deepest needs and have been healed by Him? Did you know that Jesus is more powerful than the devil and not only forgives sins but also destroys the works of the devil? Are you aware that the Lord can transform your life and help you overcome your present struggles? Now look, when Jesus came as God in the flesh, being one man, He could only be in one place at one time. His goal was to reveal the heart of the Father to mankind with acts of kindness, miracles, healings, and teachings. And then He died for mankind and paying the sin debt of every human being that every person who puts his faith in Him and the accomplished work that He's done for us could enter into a relationship with God. And in that relationship, their sins are completely erased. Their hearts receive His love, and they are established in a life-giving relationship with God, whereby God imparts His nature to them by His indwelling Spirit. That's salvation. Salvation is when your sins are erased, He imparts His nature, and you enter into a life-giving relationship with Jesus. But there's more. It stuns me that something that is so important to God is overlooked by, unfortunately, the majority of the church. It's so important to God I have a few scriptures. Let's go ahead and kind of build up to this. John 10:10, read it with me. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Next one, 1 John 3:8, the second part. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? John 7:37-39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Next slide. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your own advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Luke 24:40, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Hallelujah. The word helper is the word comforter or advocate or one who walks alongside. A person, an advocate is a person who speaks or writes in support of defense of another, a person who pleads on behalf of another. A person who pleads the cause of another in a court of law. I looked up all the things that Jesus taught the Holy Spirit does in John 14:15-16. I have them up here. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things, bring to remembrance what Jesus said, guide you into all truth, bear witness concerning Jesus, declare the things that are come, glorify Jesus, take what is of Jesus and declare it to you, convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Those are just a handful of the things. So, on the basis of what the Holy Spirit comes to do, I want to ask you, this is what he's saying through all of this. Will you let me help you? Will you let me comfort you? Will you let me advocate for you? Will you let me teach you? Will you let me guide you? Will you let me show you where I am in your situations? Will you look at me for what's coming in your life? Will you look to me to remind you what I've told you? How many of you are going to go in your heart right now and say, "Yes, I need all the help I can get, Jesus"? Go ahead and tell the person, you've never been alone. You just think you are. But you've never been alone. Never been alone. Jesus told them to wait. And then what happened is the most remarkable day. Today, as we saw in the video, today, years ago, something special happened. When Jesus died, it was during the end of the Passover, when he was resurrected. So on the Hebrew calendar, 50 days after the Passover, you have Pentecost. Pentecost was the day when the first fruits of the harvest were brought before the Lord and they were waved before him as a wave offering for the coming harvest. Got it? Jesus was with his disciples after he resurrected from the dead for 40 days, teaching them of the kingdom of God. Then he ascended into heaven. And as he was, before he went, he said, "I want you to go, don't run off and try to preach or teach or do anything yet. Go and wait in Jerusalem." So they went back, 120 disciples went to the upper room and prayed and sought the Lord and waited on the Lord for 10 days. So the 40 days plus the 10 days. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, isn't God a genius? Because he's about to have a spiritual wave offering. The first fruits, that Jesus Christ's salvation, where his spirit was going to come and there would be the wave offering, and on that day, 3,000 people would come to Jesus. Phenomenal. And they were there, and the Bible says really beautifully, it says, when that day came, it says, there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind, a sound. No wind, just the sound. And it came like a ball of fire, and it split up in the room, and 120 people looked like Roman candles, had those fireballs, this fire, they all lit up, and they began, they began praying in tongues. I like to say, yabba dabba doo. That was Flintstone language, just kidding. But they began praying in tongues, and there's a list of about 15 different languages. What happened on the day of Pentecost is that all of the Jews from all over came for the day of the celebration of the day of Pentecost to bring in their first fruits and to wave them before the Lord. It was a big thing. It was a big deal. And on that day, all these disciples, these 120 of them, are filled with the Spirit of God. And they come walking down the stairs from the upper room, and they're walking out, and they're speaking in, it's got a big list of the languages, but they're speaking in the languages, and the people who are in town hear their own language being spoken by these Galileans who are like Southerners. No, they're like West Virginians. And they know that they don't know their language, but they know their language by the Holy Spirit speaking through them. And you always have reactions when God does a supernatural thing. You have those who are amazed, and they know it's God. Look what God has done. You have those who are perplexed. What's this? And then you have a third group, and they're mockers. You always have a group where it goes, this ain't God. And the mockers said, these people are drunk. That's all it is. They're just drunk. Well, Peter stood up and responded to that. He says, well, the bars aren't open yet. This is not that they're drunk with wine. This is that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what was prophesied from Joel. He said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. And he continues. And suddenly they're cut to the heart. And he says, repent to every one of you and be baptized. And you can receive the Holy Spirit. You'll receive the promise of the Father. And on that day, 3,000 people were baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were saved and brought into the Spirit. That's why we often teach people at the water baptism that when you go down in the water, come up and expect to be baptized in the Spirit and be filled. And the relationship with God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit opens up so many wonderful doors. So many wonderful doors. Everybody just say this with me. God is love. And I was talking with a Wednesday night crew, and I was asking, how many of you are responding to the Lord because he really loves you? See, why are you desired to walk with Jesus in the first place? There's something about, it's not fire insurance. Well, if I believe in him, I won't go to hell. Well, that's true, and that's good. But Jesus is not really about a contract of keeping you out of hell. He's about you falling in love with him as he's fallen in love with you. And he has so much more for you. And so there on that day of Pentecost, this explosion of God's Spirit and love and power. Everybody say love and power.
Love and power.
Repeat this with me.
God's love
is his power. God's power is his love. And people are afraid of God sometimes because they don't know that his power is his love. And that the reason anybody would follow the Lord Jesus is because they become convinced inside of their own soul that there's no source of love like this one. that no greater love has anyone than to give down or give up his life for his friend. And that the more you begin to draw upon his love and his life, the more you begin to overcome the things that would pull you in another direction. There comes a point when you just love the Lord and he loves you so much that suddenly what was tying you, what was tethering you to things that hold you back gets weaker and weaker because his love for you gets stronger and stronger. Amen. And then sometimes it's even like a wake-up call, like, what in the world was I think that I was getting out of that he can give me in him? Yeah. And it's just that progression. The longer you go with Jesus, the less the appeal of things to your flesh, the less of the appeal of things that it just happens. Now, here's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down upon the Jewish people. But God wasn't finished. So the next place he goes is to the half-Jewish people. Samaritans had come out of captivity to Babylon, and they were the descendants of the Jews, Manasseh and Ephraim. And they were their own thing. They were like half brothers. Jesus had already gone to Samaria and had a word of knowledge with a woman at a well and awakened her spirit to the love of God. And Philip was one of the seven who served as deacons, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he went out and he began to evangelize in Samaria. And there was a miracle touch on Philip, and he was praying and people were receiving the Lord, and they were being freed from demonic powers. And then they pulled out their cell phones and called for backup. They sent word to Peter and John, and Peter and John came and they said, these people need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The pattern in the Bible is first you get saved, and then you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they came and they laid hands upon them, and they began to speak in tongues, and they began to prophesy. But that wasn't completely to the Gentiles yet. That was the half-brothers. It says this gospel would start in Jerusalem, go to Judea, and all the other parts of the world. So now, there's this Italian in Caesarea. He's not Jewish. He's not half Jewish. But he loves the Lord. He honors the God of Israel. He gives alms. He is constantly going before God and praying. And an angel visits him. And Peter, meantime, he's gone over to Joppa. And he's in Joppa, and he sees a man healed who's paralyzed and sees a lady raised from the dead. He's having a good time in Joppa. And he's staying at Simon the Tanner's house, and he's there, and the Lord speaks to Cornelius and tells, go to Simon the Tanner's house and ask for Simon, who is called Peter, to come to your home. And so he sends some guys down there. And Peter, he knows that the Holy Spirit comes to the Jews, he comes to the half-Jews, but that's about it. And he is on the roof. He's waiting for something to eat downstairs. And he is waiting upon the Lord, praying, and he goes into a trance. And he sees a gigantic sheet full of unclean animals come down. And he sees this vision, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, rise, kill, and eat. And he says, Lord, I have never, ever eaten what is the Jews don't eat. You know, this is what's common. I can't eat this. And God has this way of doing things in threes. And he shows him the vision again. Comes down and says, kill and eat. And he reacts to it the same way. Then the third time, I guess the Lord says, he has a way of just talking into it after the third time, doesn't he? He did that with me with salvation. And then don't call what I've declared clean, don't call unclean. And right at that time, when he gets that message, there's a knock at the door. And those guys are there and they say, where is Peter, this Simon, this one called Peter? I said, he's upstairs. And they brought him down. He said, please come to Cornelius' house. He goes to, travels with him back to Caesarea. He goes back to Cornelius' house. Cornelius and his whole family are there and all of his servants. And Peter gets up to preach. I have a remarkable statement, Acts 10:38. This is the most amazing statement about the anointing on Jesus Christ. Peter is talking about Jesus. This is how God anointed, read this with me, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Let's stop just for a minute. You can tell somebody the Holy Spirit's a person. Go ahead, tell them the Holy Spirit's a person. He's a person. Just as Jesus came to perfectly represent the heart of the Father, he was the perfect expression of the heart of Father God. Just as he was the heart, the Holy Spirit comes as the perfect expression of Jesus Christ. Is the perfect expression. They're one and they're three, but they're the same in nature. Everything that you love about God has been given to you by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I've got to go because there's only one of me, but when he comes, it's like an invisible Jesus went everywhere. Jesus went everywhere, and the same love that they felt with Jesus was there. They were feeling that same love and his power. He can be grieved. The Holy Spirit comes as different things. You know, we get kind of confused, think it's an it, because it could be the breath of God. It could be the wind of the Spirit of God. I've had times when you lay hands on somebody and suddenly he can be the heat of God and the sign of healing in the body. He can descend upon a person just like the oil. And you can feel an oil come all through your body. It's an invisible thing. But he can anoint you and you can feel, like, oh my God, I'm anointed with the Spirit of God. He comes in all these, like water. He can come like a wave of water. I was in a meeting one time. I wrote a song about it called Come Jump in the River. We were in a big retreat and the Holy Spirit began to come. Literally like a deluge of like a big river and begin to come from the left side of the room and come flowing all through the room. And you could literally, those that you remember, you could go like this. You could grab and throw it and somebody could feel it splash. The Holy Spirit was manifesting as the power of water. And we were started to sing, come jump in the river, come jump in the river of God. It's the river of love. It's the river of peace. It's the river of joy. Come jump in the river. And you remember? It's hard to forget something like that. How many have had the Holy Spirit descend upon you in some special way that imparts and changes and affects you? How many of you desire more? See, the Lord made us that way because there's a deep craving that begins to happen when you experience the supernatural touch of the Lord Jesus. It changes you. It's not just that he wants you to get rid of something. You know what? You can get rid of something and you'll go back. But if you get rid of something and you're filled with something else, it's being filled with the something else. And when you get filled with the power and the freshness and the fullness and the love and the depth and the impacting fullness, Paul ran out of words and he said, it's fullness. It's the fullness of God. It's just the fullness. The plethora, the overwhelming power. power of love that saturates the soul, fills the heart, and transforms you. And you were heading one way in life, and you're awakened to the power of His love for you, and it scrambles all your eggs. And you wake up and you go, I'm going to head the other way now. Something has dropped inside of me and changed me. And I'll tell you why. First of all, I wanted to say He's all those things. But He's also a person because He speaks to you. He can be grieved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. He can help you in so many different ways. The power of God can just come around you. How many of you sung praises before the Lord when somebody's sick? And suddenly, as you're praising the Lord, they get well. How many of you? The Holy Spirit says, if you're going to concentrate on me during the time of struggle, I'm going to show up in your life and transform what needs to happen here. So this is why our church is more of like a training ground, just to come in and participate with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to put up, yes, Acts 10. While Peter was saying these things, I want you to notice I underlined something. While Peter was saying these things, he was preaching, and it says, while he was saying these things, the Holy Spirit, everybody say, fell on. They fell on. Say it again, fell on. Now, the word fell on is the word, I love this word, epipipto. While Jesus was magnifying the Lord in His message, before He said, in conclusion, before He got to the end, the Holy Spirit fell on them. All who were listening, and the believers from among the circumcised, the Jews who had come with Peter, were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. This is our Pentecost. It's at Cornelius' house. This is how we got in. Even on the Gentiles. They were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And this word, how many of you know Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and he wrote the book of Acts, right? He wrote both. And he takes this beautiful little word. Let me show you where he first uses epipipto, the next verse. Epipipto. Luke 15:20. Jesus is telling the story, the parable of the prodigal son. And he rose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, ran and epipipto. And he fell on him and kissed him. Everybody say the Holy Spirit's power is His love. So there is no fear in coming for more, because what you're going to get is the Holy Spirit was going to give you a big hug. He's going to love you and fall on you with love and just soak you in God's depth of His love for you. And you're just going to go, I never, this, and it's going to be a taste of heaven. And it's going to be what's around the throne of God. And you're going to sense the life changing. So, Pastor, you're just so feely-touchy. Let me tell you, you can be a military guy of the Italian cohort like Cornelius. And when God's love falls on you and you start speaking in an unknown tongue, and the door is open for God to do in your life the things that you've longed for, the fullness of God. You know what happened in Cornelius' house? He was saved and baptized in the Spirit the same day. It's amazing. And then they go out, and Peter goes, well, let's go get some water and baptize him. And so they go out to the river, and they baptize him. So they got it. They got the Holy Spirit's fullness before they got in the water. When you have a craving for God, when you have a desire for more, when you hunger for Him, this is what the Holy Spirit will do. First of all, He'll make the Word of God alive. He'll cause the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You read the Bible and the Holy Spirit begins to show you things. He begins to tell you what's there for you. He highlights moments in the Bible, and you might be in a passage for a while because he's making it alive to you. He's saying, this is what you've been craving down inside. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to bless you. And then the Holy Spirit, when we start to pray or when we start to praise the Lord, he comes and he injects passion into it. The Holy Spirit makes our worship life-giving and causes it to become full of the presence of God. It's his ministry, because one of his ministries is to glorify Jesus and to bear witness concerning Jesus. And so when you talk about Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and he begins to flow into that and make the testimony of Jesus something that can be applicable to the next person. He also is the source of the character shaping of your life. He not only makes the word alive, he makes it incarnate inside of you. If you're going to grow as a believer, the Holy Spirit is going to help you become like Jesus. He's the one that causes the growth to happen. He's the one, and when it says, I think I left this passage out, but on the very, when it says to rejoice in your sufferings, because when you rejoice in your sufferings, it causes character, you know, and character, you develop long suffering, whatever. It says, because the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God in your heart. Everybody say, the Holy Spirit pours out love. Pours out. So when you're going through a trial and you're seeking to walk with the Lord through that trial, guess what's going to happen? You're going to come to a moment where the Holy Spirit pours out the love and says, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. It was worth it all. And you're going to know this was worth it. And the Holy Spirit is the producer of the fruit of the Spirit, because it's his fruit. And it's love and it's joy and it's peace. Let's just lift our heads right now. Holy Spirit, come and fill afresh with love and joy and peace. Let there come the refreshing. I was just, the moment I said that, I felt like, let me get in the room. Let me get into the hearts. There you go. Praise you, Lord. Let's go ahead and praise him for a moment. Praise the Lord. Some of you have been like on your gas tank, even though we worshiped earlier on your gas tank, you've been a little low, and the Lord's saying, I'm going to flood you right now with my love. I'm going to flood you with my peace. I'm going to flood you with my joy. Just open up. Open up. Say, become a sponge in the presence of God. Become a sponge. There you go. Become a sponge. Become a sponge. There might be a person that says, well, but I, let me just tell you this. Jesus knows all the but I's. He knows all the but I's that would disqualify you. And you might feel that you're disqualified from receiving the fullness of his love. And he says, no, 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 no. If you let me love you more, you'll quit doing the but I's. Let me love you. Let me love you. Let me flood you with my love. Is that right? And then the Holy Spirit comes and he gives us a capacity to do the things that Jesus did. And you suddenly know things that Jesus wants you to know, because God loves people so much, he gives you information to serve them with. He gives you his touch to bless them with. He causes things to happen through your life the way they would happen through Jesus. He causes things that would be a hindrance to the fullness of his purpose to be melted away. I read this the other day. I thought it was brilliant. A fella had mentioned, it's a saying they have in the Christian communities over in England. He says, they believe God redeems your life 80%, and then he gives you friends. And he redeems the other 20% with the body of Christ, loving one another. And without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have that capacity. But with the Holy Spirit, you begin to, how many of you found that? You can be with the Lord and you get so far, but you got to get in the body of Christ where the love of God is manifest. And then suddenly there's things that, I used to really be a mess. How many of you? I will thank God I'm not the only one, but I was a wreck. How about that? I was a damaged mess. And I was the kind of a person that if I got in a room with certain people, either they or I was the sandpaper. I don't have that in my life. I think I've been sanded down so much by the Holy Spirit. It's not that difficult to be around just about anybody. Unless they're completely demonized, I can get along with them. Is that right? The Lord wants to express and manifest His love in people so deeply because He knows what the world is looking for. And I'm saddened by the fact, unfortunately, that so much of the church is known by what, just because of a religious spirit, not because of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about when people, they mean it good. They say, well, he's religious. What they're trying to say is he does that church stuff. That's what they're trying to say. But I don't like religious. Because my idea of religious is Pharisees. I wish there was another word to say, well, there's one of those relational, they're relationals. That would be better because now that would really put the finger on. They're relationals. They love Jesus and walk with him and know him. Instead of they're religious, they're relationals. They know him. His love flows through them. They care about people. Well, we're going to take a little time. It's been a fullness, but look, this morning I want to invite the people that are going to be up here to come on up and pray. And I want to put our hearts together for this. Would you like more? Would you like a greater sense of the fullness? Every single time in the Bible before God did something, it says, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, they... And then it says, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter did this. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, he did that. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, because they didn't do it out of their human capacities, they did it out of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit come. He began coming and flooding the room a minute ago. Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit, come. Let's just lift our hearts to the Lord for a moment. Holy Spirit, come. We're going to ask for a fresh filling, a fresh overflow, an impartation from the Lord. That the Lord would just come and fill you freshly. There may be, because I really didn't press the way the Lord releases the baptism of Spirit with the praying in the Spirit, but that might be something He nudges you to do. Sometimes it's just little moments of funny little noises that go off in your head and you say them, and next thing you know, you feel the love of God going deep. Isn't that true, Phyllis? It was right here one day, wasn't it? You came down and the Holy Spirit overflowed you, and you got up and you were talking in a language you never learned. It's a more day. It's more. I want more. We still have a little time before the end of the service. One of the ways the Holy Spirit fills us is we just lift our hands up. As we lift our hands up to Him. Go ahead and put an expectancy before the Lord and let Him. Now, just got a quickening. Some of you have had a desire to move in the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord just quickened me and says, I'm releasing a more of a capacity in your life to hear from me and to pour out my love for people. Just go ahead and open up to that. The Lord says, I'm going to release gifts. 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 Oh, praise the Lord. Go ahead, praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lift your head. The Lord wants to cascade His love over you, like a waterfall falling over you. Open up to Him. The Lord's coming to love you. Let Him love you. Let Him love. There you go. Let Him love you. He says, I want to epipipto you. I want to pour out my love. I want to embrace you and love you. Pour out his love upon you. Praise you, Jesus. Fling open both doors of your heart and say, Lord, I'm here for you. I love you and I need you. Spirit of God, fall fresh in this place. Fall fresh in this place. Fall fresh. Fall fresh. Spirit of God, fall fresh. Fall fresh. Fall fresh. Praise you, Lord.
The Lord can meet you anywhere. He can meet you in your bedroom at night, your office space where you work. All you have to do is just take a moment and reach to him. He can meet you right where you are in the pew. And then sometimes he requires a step. Sometimes we hide in places where we shouldn't hide anymore. And that step of faith by walking towards him, it's almost like coming down front is walking towards Jesus. Some of you have just been afraid to walk towards him, so you stand there, almost in shock that you can't believe your life is like this, or that just happened, or whatever it might be. And the Lord is standing there, and he wants you to walk towards him. It's a step of faith. Okay? So, I don't know who you are, but someone, or maybe many, just need to get up. And Jesus is there, but he's also here. It's the issue of seeking him by walking towards him. Does that make sense? Okay.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you,
Lord. Like I said, there's no more anointing down here than in any other part of the room. It's our desire to exercise our faith by reaching towards him. So if you just need to reach towards him, if you need to take that step of faith, just walk right down here. And he said, that's all I need you to do. Walk right towards me, and I'll do all the rest. Okay. So I don't know if that's you, or maybe I just need to do that. It's not just a one-time thing. Sometimes we need to take an effort and walk towards him in faith. I'm taking a step of faith towards you, Lord, and I'm believing for you to change this on my behalf. Can you say amen? Amen.